There's 20 seconds on the clock. Albert, he will play it. 21 metres away. Down the blind, Andrew Johns. Inside for Albert. Albert will score. Albert will score. Newcastle have won the grand final.
Welcome to episode 16 of Sports Castle, joined by your regular hosts, Chris and Jared. Jared coming to us live from Jared Mullen Studios. I'm in the Regan Tanner Studios. How are you, mate?
Yeah, mate. Excited for another thrilling week, mate.
Another bumper episode. A little bit lighter on the sports action in Newcastle this weekend, but still plenty on offer. It
certainly is, mate. It's all happening.
All happening, mate. Let's get into, you know, we'll get straight into it, mate, I suppose. Black Diamond AFL this week we'll start off with. Mate, there was a few games that were a little bit closer than we thought, a couple of blowouts and even a bit of a match that had a bit for everyone. So we might run through. We'll start with the Gosford game, mate. Gosford 4 goals, 6:30 against Terrigal Avoca Panthers, 15, 22, 112. Not the straightest of kicking, but... couple of good displays there, mate. Peter Van Dam, 4 goals from the forward pocket, and Lachlan White best on ground as the rover. So looks like the Panthers are starting to get back into the form that led them to last year's grand final.
Yeah, mate, they're sitting there just behind Cardiff, the second rung of the ladder. They're cruising along nicely at this early stage, mate.
Yeah, mate, those two sides are certainly starting to stretch out, I'd say, in front and look like the two early premiership favourites. Speaking of Cardiff, they had a massive 20-goal win. 20 goals, 28, 148 to 3 goals, 4:22 over Lake Macquarie. Jack Lennon, mate, kicking another 4 goals. He's making it pretty regular, getting a bag of goals. And Josh Murphy at full forward got best on ground. So plenty of goals there in Cardiff and plenty of goal scorers. Lake Macquarie just battling away. Probably wouldn't be too disappointed with racking up 22 points against the guys who I'd probably have marked as the premiership favourites at this stage.
Yeah, mate, they're still searching for that elusive first win, but yeah, they'll get there eventually, I think, mate. But yeah, Cardiff are just too superior at this stage.
Yeah, mate, I've noticed looking at a few of the group pages and different other things on Facebook that and team list, Lake Macquarie, they've got a few blokes that are playing 2 games a weekend. They're struggling to, I think on the weekend they might have only had 2 reserves in firsts, and so... there's a couple other sides that didn't field a full bench as well. So it's a bit of a battle for some of those sides that got promoted to really find those numbers, but they're on the improve, and it looks like they're slowly building every week. I mean, it's not huge changes, but it's going to be a very gradual thing. It's probably going to take them a year or two to get to a point where they're sort of, you know, reasonably competitive. You only got to look a couple of years ago, Cardiff were off the pace. You know, Warners Bay have built over the last couple of years in, you know, after having some average years. So, look, it'll come about, but it's going to take a long time as, you know, I suppose AFL gets a real foothold and spreads its foothold in the Newcastle and Hunter region.
Yeah, that's even though if you look at some of them Central Coast teams, they've been really dominant the last couple of years. But
yep,
even when they first come in, you know, similar score, like 200 points against them and things like that, when, you know, that was only probably 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's not that long since it became a Black Diamond, mate. And there's, I mean, and that was the issue that the whole concept of Black Diamond was to overcome, was the fact that there was, you know, haves and have-nots in each competition, and they separated into divisions, and that they believed at the end of last year, you know, with the point systems and things they brought in. And look, it's having an effect and it's starting to level out. It's not just, you know, one team dominating. I mean, Newcastle City were really strong, you know, a few years back, and they've started to settle back to the pack. And I mean, they're a bit stronger again this year, and they'll sit probably, well, I'd say they'd be pretty comfortable backing themselves in to make the finals from here, but it's not going to they're not going to have it all their own way. And certainly, you know, there's been some surprise results already, and a few teams that'll be looking later in the year as they build the, just try and throw a few upsets in, and that's all you ask for, and eventually it'll come round.
Yeah, mate, I agree there. I think, you know, I think it's the right thing too, as you said, that you've got to start somewhere, and the end product will be good in, you know, 3 or 4 years' time, if not sooner.
Yeah, mate, talking about the Newcastle City Blues, they had a good win at home, 15 goals, 9, good to see some straight kicking, 99 to 2 goals, 5, 17 for Singleton. Singleton, another one of those sides that couldn't quite field a full bench from what I could see. Cameron Keyst at full forward for the Blues was the best on ground. Pretty strong performance up forward. The other games on the weekend, Warners Bay, 16-11, 107 away to Nelson Bay, 2 goals, 5-17. The halfback flanker, Josh Nicol, got best on ground. Just a little bit of a shout-out, mate. You don't see it too often in Newcastle, bloke that'll play first grade in two different codes. You sometimes see it in the rugby codes. But Nick Metcalf, who you probably know, played... little bit of first grade for Waratah in rugby in previous years, kidding up for Warners Bay and kicking a couple of goals from the half-forward flank. So good to see you there, mate. A bit of a cross-code flourishing at Warners Bay.
Yeah, mate. You must have joined the old chess controller out there.
Yeah, mate, I saw something on Facebook, actually. I believe Murray's having a run around. He must be having a run around in the lower, or a waddle around one of the two in the lower grades. So, mate, if he's having a listen, we'd love to have him on the show to talk about how Warners Bay's going.
I've interviewing elite sports people at Newcastle, mate.
Yeah, well, mate, it'd be the new Gary Harley if he keeps growing at the rate he's going. the final game of the round, mate, it was probably the match of the round in the end, and... you managed to tip this one correctly. You backed Wyong Lakes at home down there at Tacoma. 11 goals, 13.79 over Killarney Vale. 10 goals, 8.68. Mate, the impressive thing for me in this game, 21 goals kicked and two blokes, one from each side, kicked 6 goals each. So Jared Cross from Wyong Lakes and Bryce Singleton from Killarney Vale, both playing in the forward lines, obviously. Not a bad little show, kicking 6 out of 10 and 6 out of 11. A bit like that young bloke from the Swans on the weekend, kicking 7 out of 12.
Yeah, that's right, mate. You know, I'm sure all the blokes that paid $10 on the hill were happy to see that, mate.
Yeah, mate. Got
a reward, I suppose. But yeah, one thing I will say, mate, Data kicked 20 goals, and the other Terry will kick 15, but they kicked bloody 50 behinds between them.
Yeah, mate. Like I said, it was good to see Newcastle City kick fairly straight. Not too many others. I warned his bay, so it'd be interesting to see in some of those big games later in the year if they can. Correct that, because otherwise it could become quite costly. And it's always a funny thing in AFL when you see it, you know, you might see a game and a team might, you know, it might be 10 goals, 7, and then the other team might kick, you know, 8 goals, 15, and they've had, you know, what's that, 6 more scoring shots, but been beat by, you know, 4 points. So, I mean, it can be a big difference in the end of the day. And you know, like I understand on a windy day if both teams aren't kicking well, but if you're playing in a game where one team's kicking very straight and the other team's not, it can be very costly later in the year. So there'll be, yeah, I'd say there'll be some goal-kicking drills at Terrigal of Oka and Cardiff training this week, because when they come up against each other, it's going to be crucial.
That's right.
Now, mate, no action this weekend. Big game, though, for a number of Newcastle-based players.
Yeah, it is, mate. They've come up against the old... Canberra AFL team of some... representative team at Manuka Oval.
Canberra District representative team, yeah, playing against the Black Diamond team. So
23-man squad.
8 rookies in there, mate. A lot of young blood. A lot of guys, you know. Got a few of the guys who've won a few of the best and fairest over the last few years in the comp, and some of the leading lights in recent years have taken a step away from representative AFL, and plenty of rookies there and some young blood, including... a young bloke from Warners Bay, mate, who set the internet on fire on the weekend.
He did, mate, he did. 18-year-old, he hasn't played many games, but, yeah, his coach said he's got a bit of the X factor, Jack Hardman.
Mate, I've watched that video, I'll be honest, it's become a bit of a guilty pleasure this week. I've watched it a lot of times. Mate, he nearly jumped over the bloke, nearly missed him. Ended up taking a beautiful shoulder ride for an absolute screamer of grab. If you haven't checked it out yet, jump onto Bar TV Sports and... have a look at it. Jack Hardman's his name, and could be an absolute superstar of the future. So, be interesting to see how he goes in the representative arena. That game will be on Bar TV Sports. We'll make sure to share the link on our Facebook page with No Black Diamond this week. Something to notice. I was quite surprised. I'm not that surprised. No Lake Macquarie or Maitland players in the squad, but no Wyong Lakes players. And Wyong Lakes have probably been a little bit of a surprise packet, but they've been performing pretty well. They're sitting up the top half of the ladder, and you know, they knocked off Killarney Vale on the weekend. I don't think they're going to trouble anyone for a premiership, but I was really surprised. Like the likes of Nelson Bay, you've got 3, I think Singleton's got 1 or 2. No one from Wyong Lake. So I'm not sure whether that was it's a bit like the Newcastle Rugby League rep team and there's no one from Maitland. But who knows, mate? Could come down to whether they nominated or not. But, yeah, certainly a little bit surprising there. But plenty to watch, and make sure you tune in this weekend. I think it's on Saturday, the rep game. So,
yeah, 3 o'clock, mate.
Yeah, so down at Manuka Oval, as you said, so a great opportunity for some of these young blokes that, you know, this could be theoretically for a lot of these guys, you know, the highest level they'll play at. So to get to have a run on an AFL ground, a ground that's currently in use for AFL competition matches, in front of hopefully a bit of a crowd, will be great.
Yeah, the next Isaac Heaney, mate, you never know.
Yeah, mate, exactly right. Well, you never know. Young Jack Harbin, that could be him, mate. So we'll keep some tabs on him. We'll watch him throughout the season and hopefully he develops and gives us some more cracking highlights, because we all love a good highlight, especially when blokes are taking hangers on other guys' shoulders. I know you couldn't do it because, mate, like most blokes' shoulders are above your head, and my size, I can barely get off the ground. So we're not going to be, you know, outclassing him with that sort of athletic ability anytime soon.
Yeah, mate, that's right. Try it on the kids in the backyard, mate. You could probably get up on Saxon.
Yeah, mate. I probably could, but he'd probably bash me. So,
yeah,
he might
not get up, mate.
Yeah, exactly right. So, anyway, mate, we might move along from the Black Diamond. Good luck to the Black Diamond rep side this weekend, of course. Into something with a little bit more punch. The NRL action, mate. I suppose a bit more punch this weekend. It'd be more your wheelhouse. Anyway, the NHRU, which we'll get to later, but the Newcastle. Sorry, the NRL, National Rugby League. Mate, round 10 saw the Knights host the Panthers last Friday night. I got down to the game. It was cold. I was talking to you when I was on my way in there, and it was very fresh. So real winter weather put on. The Knights, they had a few opportunities but just couldn't take them. Went down 29-18 to a pretty impressive Panthers side that, while decimated by injury, mate, James Maloney, he was on fire. I just think too much fell on Kalen Ponga and too much expectation that he was going to magically find some, you know, something awesome and pull it out of his arse and, you know, win the game for us.
Yeah, mate, I agree. I think he can do the job when Mitchell Pearce is still on the sideline, but, you know, he's still 19 and played, what, 8 first grade games. He's still, you know, he can't do it all at that age, mate.
I think he's up to a few more. He might be up to a few more than 8, mate. I think he's played 10 now for the Knights anyway, so.
Oh, jeez.
But, still, as you say.
They're a good team, mate, but I saw the old scheming cat, the old, no, not youngie, James Maloney in that last 10 minutes when Knights sort of, you know, thought they had a bit of a sniff. He really slowed the game down and took his time with everything.
He controlled that game really well. Probably a couple of mentions. Connor Watson played reasonably well, but that when he made that break and then just threw an absolutely horrendous ball, I'd cop that if it was a front row or a back row, even if it was a winger or maybe even a centre. But when you've got bloke playing in your halves who can't pass the ball 15 metres back to his left, and it like literally goes to the feet of Brock Lamb, who's in support, that's not good enough. Brock Lamb, on the other hand, mate, I want to give him a bit of a shout out. I thought he played really well. A couple of times he helped out in, cleaning up kicks and issues in the in goal as well, and just really showed a lot of want. And the final one, mate, is the NIV kid, Lockie Fitzgibbon. He's moved over to that right edge with Mitch Barnett playing on the left edge, and, mate, he looked really dangerous. I thought that with moving to the right edge, he'd start to struggle without running off Ponga, and, mate, he almost got, you know, he got through the line, poked his head through a couple of times, and just looked dangerous in attack. Defence probably still needs a little bit of work, but, yeah, really impressed with him. I was pretty open on the record with a lot of people. Start of last year, I didn't think he was up to first grade, but he certainly made me eat my words, and happy to do so and happy to see him going well.
Yeah, nice, mate. I heard a few raps on Mitchell Barnett too. He got through the 80 minutes on the, as you said, the right edge.
The left edge.
Left edge?
Yeah. Fitzy's on the right, yeah. So, yeah.
Right. I think Penrith, even though, as you said, with their injuries, I still think they're still a classy team, and, you know, they'll be up there with the top four.
Mate, I was fortunate enough on Thursday night. I was down at Leichhardt, and I managed to meet Nathan Cleary, actually, which was nice, and had a little chat with him, and he's certainly looking fit and very keen to get back, and I think that's going to add a huge boost to their side. And obviously he's going to be trying to hit the ground running to, you know, for him and Maloney to be the halves pairing for State of Origin, mate. So, yeah, certainly they got some good players coming back there over the next few weeks. And as the season tracks on, I can't see them getting weaker. I think they're only going to get stronger, mate.
Yeah, he's pitting up against his old man this week too, mate, I believe.
Yeah, if Panthers win, he might have to find somewhere else to live, mate. He's still living at home, so that could be interesting.
So, mate,
just quickly while we talk of Origin, mate, big news during the week. Your idol and long, you know, unrequited love, Cameron Smith, announced his retirement from representative football because apparently that one extra week of football this year was going to be too stressful for him. So, you know, New South Wales probably rejoicing, mate. Obviously, it really ushers a new age at Queensland and Australian levels there. So it was interesting to hear some interviews with Mal Meninga on a couple of Fox shows last night, and all he wanted to talk about was Queensland options for captaincy. So that was a pretty clear message sent, even for the Australian side. So, mate, if I was Boyd Cordner, I wouldn't be counting on being named Australian captain anytime soon.
Yeah, I suppose it took everyone a little bit by surprise too, mate. Like, they were obviously, you know, we were only talking about our thoughts on teams, I think that was about 3 weeks ago, and, yeah, we, you know, we had him penciled in, and now, yeah, they've got to find someone else, but...
Yeah, mate, so let's put your Queensland selectors cap on. We might have a quick run through here of a couple of concepts. What's your spine look like for Queensland? Yeah, I agree there.
The 6 and 7, well, if I was picking the team, I'd probably put Hunt and Munster, but I've got a feeling they'll go with Morgan at 6 and Munster on the bench.
I'd be with you, mate. I think Munster and Hunt will get the nod now with where they're at. I think that's Hooker. Turned a little bit, so I'd have more.
The big one, mate.
What's that?
Hooker's the big one, I reckon. Obviously, the other
Andrew McCulloch, before. Mate. Andrew McCulloch for mine. Granville and Friend not in good enough form at this stage. Friend played well on the weekend. Cowboys not playing.
Friend's only playing 50 minutes, isn't he, too?
Yeah, so, mate, at the end of the day, I think with the versatility of Michael Morgan, the fact that he can play in the back row if needed, I think that at the start of the year they would have been looking at Morgan and Munster, but with where the Cowboys are at and his versatility, it might count against him. He'll be on the bench, I think, with Hunt at 7. Munster at 6, that's what I'd be doing, and I think McCulloch at 9, mate. I don't know what your pick is at 9.
I think any of them that they have are good options, but I just don't think, yeah, as you said, I don't think Granville at the Cowboys, he's doing okay, but, you know, they're not doing a lot up there, the Cowboys, and you know, the other one was
Jake Friend.
Yeah, Jake Friend, like, he's a good player, but I think, just, you know, as an outsider looking in, I really think he's coming to terms without having Pierce there running the show. And, he's only 50, 60 minutes.
It's been very hard for the Roosters, you know, spine to do much when their forwards haven't been going forward until last week, and we saw what happened when they did. So, look, no doubt, same as Nathan Cleary, if Jake Friend can put a couple of amazing performances on, and, you know, McCulloch has a bit of a falter, especially the fact that he's had some injuries. Never say never, but yeah, it'd be very interesting to see how that all pans out. While we're on it, mate, New South Wales spine, just give me a quick answer. What your setup's going to be in the spine, and if you're going to have a utility or a second hooker on the bench, what are you going with?
I would go, based on form, I would go Trbojevic at the back. I would put Maloney and Cleary at 6 and 7, and hooker. Can't go past Damien Cook, mate.
Yeah, and your bench, what are you going with there? Who you got?
Have you got
a utility, or what are you doing?
Yeah, it'd be a utility. It'd probably be that guy from the Dragons, McInnes.
He's not a utility, mate. He's a hooker.
No,
he's
good. Utility? Well, Jack Bird, he looks like he's 8'4" sheep.
Well, he's out injured, mate, so we'll see what happens there. I'll be looking at, very similar, mate. I'll have Tedesco at fullback, same halves pairing, same hooker. I wouldn't be outraged to see Tyrone Peachy in the 14. Been playing very well at 6 for the Panthers. Again, late into him a little bit early in the year, but he's responded pretty well to a lot of criticism from a lot of parts, not just me. As much as they all listen to our show, so that'd be what I'd be looking at. Well, I rate McInnes, but I just think, you know, Cook got a massive points victory over him on the weekend, and yeah, I just think Cook's probably a little bit better. It just comes down to whether or not Freddie wants to carry two hookers or whether he wants a utility on the bench there. So that'll be interesting to see. Let's jump into this week's NRL round, mate. Try and keep them short and snappy here as we punch through these. Just get a quick tip, mate. Panthers and Tigers at Penrith Stadium Thursday night, so tomorrow night at 10 to 8.
Panthers at home, mate.
Panthers at home, mate. With Cleary back, it's certainly very interesting. But, yeah, I'll stick with the Panthers just due to that home ground on a Thursday night. She'll be fresh out at Penrith. Next one, mate. I expect there to be a crowd of at least 12 people at this one. Parramatta Eels versus the Warriors at ANZ Stadium. Friday night, 6 o'clock. I've got a bit of a rule at the moment, mate, and that's don't tip the Eels because they're killing me. But can you tip the Warriors either?
Oh, mate, they're up and down like the mighty roller coaster at the moment. The Warriors.
No Sean Johnson for the Warriors, mate, so that may have some weighting in your opinion.
Yeah, mate, I went to Eels last week with no confidence and they lost me, so I'm just going to go Warriors based on flipping a coin, mate.
And yeah, the Warriors, yeah, mate, the Eels haven't been that far away, but I'm going to go with the Warriors as well. Lino has showed us some positive and I think they would have got the rocket put up them this week. The main game on Friday night is two salary cap sombreros, the battle of Brisbane host the Roosters at Suncorp, 5-8. This one should be good, mate. Both teams, I mean, Brisbane had a bit of a blip on the weekend, but I think both teams starting to show a bit more of what they're capable of in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think the Broncos caught Manly on the wrong week and Roosters are showing the form we thought they would show. And, mate, I'm going to go the Roosters in this. I think they turned me last week.
I don't want to know which one of them was. I feel like you'd be a Cooper Cronk sort of man that would have turned you.
Yes, mate.
Mate, yeah, I'll go the Roosters as well. Next up, mate, it's the big game. Gold Coast Titans, they host the Newcastle Knights. If the Knights are going to chalk a win, you know, and get back to some form, this is probably as good an opportunity as any.
Yes, it is, mate, and the Tides are absolutely cruel at the moment with injuries, and based on that, I'm not tipping them, I'm tipping the Knights, mate.
Yeah, mate, they're not only cruel by injuries, they're cruel by people that just choose not to tackle Cameron Munster too, and Bryce Cartwright, he's been flicked to the extended bench, so be interesting to see what happens there. I'll be on the Knights bandwagon as well, mate. Ross Dogg for the first try. Next up, the Cowboys hosting the Rabbitohs. Mate, this is going to be a tough one for the Cowboys, even though they're at home. They really need a win, but, geez, the team that you don't want to come up against at the moment is the Rabbitohs. They've got some momentum and they're really rolling forward. And as a couple of key commentators noted, they're starting to look a bit like that side that won the comp only 4 years ago.
They are, mate. They've got a lot to like. New coach playing a good brand of footy, mate. And with that, I am going to go the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, mate, we're sticking together here. I'm going to go the Rabbitohs as well. I've been really impressed by some of, you know, well, I mean, it's hard to call him a lesser name. He's been around for a long time, but some of the footy, some of the lesser names, the likes of Johnny Sutton are playing. The Burgess brothers are going really well, and, you know, I heard a good point during the week, and that is George and Tom are two different players. Like, they're starting to develop into their own roles, and they've got, you know, there's starting to be differences in the way they play the game, which is really good, I think. For too long, we've identified them as the twins, so might be interesting to see how they develop going forward. They're still not that old, so, yeah, really good to see. And I'd say GI would want to put on a good show and put his hand up to skipper the Maroons.
Yes, he will, mate, for sure.
Mate, the next one, your Melbourne Storm. They host the Manly Seagulls, the anniversary of the 40-0 grand final. You would have enjoyed that one, mate.
Overseas, mate.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter where you were. This game goes around the world. At Amy Park, Saturday night at 7:30. Manly, welcome in into the 14 jersey. A man who's at three clubs in half a season, Trent Hodkinson.
Still won't name.
Jackson Hastings is gone now, especially with Trent Hodkinson joining. You'd need Hodkinson and DCE to go down injured. But yeah, it'd be very interesting to see. As I said, Trent Hodkinson, I think as of the 1st of March, was contracted to the Newcastle Knights. So,
he was.
So, what are we looking at? 10 weeks and. You know, 10 weeks and change, and he's onto his third club. So, mate, hopefully for him he can settle in, get a bit of a run. I thought he was really impressive the couple of games he played for the Sharks. He's close to best on in each of the ones he played. So, he'll slot right in there. I wouldn't be surprised if they parachute him straight into the starting lineup, push Walker back to centre and flick someone out of the back line.
Sully.
Big Moses Sully, the redemption story. Another man who's had three clubs in one season. Mate, it's a pattern at Manly. They love it.
Yes, they do.
I wonder who else they can pick up that's been sacked by someone. Yeah, mate, they might get Kenny Edwards. So, mate, who are you tipping here?
I'm going to get Cameron Smith's namesake, Brandon Smith, get man of the match, and I think Storm will win, mate.
Stop, mate. I'm going to go with the Storm as well. We're very, very similar this week, but, yeah, I think Brandon Smith, man of the match, might be a bit OTT, mate. Next up, mate, the match of the round out at picturesque Glen Willow Regional Sports Complex in downtown Mudgee. I will be on deck for the mighty Green Machine. They travel out there for the Dragons home game. Sunday, 2 o'clock, mate, should be an absolute belter out there. It'll be a sellout crowd, I would have thought. I'll be enjoying it. One of the few grounds around. You can still sit on the hill and enjoy some NRL action.
Mate, this is the best ground outside of the Sydney City region, mate. I've refereed on this ground. It is very beautiful ground to referee.
That's a big call. The best ground outside of Sydney City. So it's better than McDonald Jones.
Yeah, it is.
Better than Wins. Better than Wins Stadium.
Yeah, I've been there, but yeah.
Amy Park. Jeez, you've gone big. Anyway, Twickenham.
Yeah. I did hear a former ref, Nathan Pearce, said that he refereed Super Rugby and Test matches around the world, and he said there's playing surfaces equal to Mudgee, but he'd never refereed on a ground better than the playing surface in Mudgee. Oh, and I thought he was having a land of us, mate, but it was he was right. It's very nice ground.
Beautiful, mate. It's good to see the country grounds put on. Like Scully Park the other week, it looked like an absolute carpet. So and the Knights players said as much. So great to see. Hopefully it's nice and dry and we've got some really attacking football. Both sides have got some points in them, so could end up 56-48 or something similar to that if we get everything we want.
Yeah, Dragons will be desperate to bounce back. Raiders threw one away against the Sharks last week, mate. And I think the Dragons will get back in the winning circle here, mate.
Yeah, mate, I can't keep tipping with my heart, so I'm going to go with my head here and Dragons will bounce back, mate. Maybe the last game might split us, but I don't know about that either. Might end up with the same eight tips this week. Final game of the round, the Sharks host the Bulldogs at Southern Cross Group Stadium. Sunday, 4:10 p.m, mate. The Sharks slowly welcome back a few players. Paul Gallen was a late withdrawal last week. I heard it was because he was still scared of Josh Papali from about 6 years ago. He should be back in this week for the Sharks. I would think he's been named again, but... Yeah, how do you see this one shaping up? The Bulldogs have been much improved over the last few weeks, but, yeah, I mean, they beat Parramatta last weekend, but the Sharks, as you said, are probably a fortunate win over the Raiders. They didn't play that well. I'm still a bit dirty over the last try. Shouldn't have been a try, so Yarrow was offside, but we'll move on from that.
Yeah, I see old Michael Leacher has been added to the extended bench, as is Luke Lewis and Dugan, mate. I think the Sharks, they played pretty well last week, mate, and I think they'll carry on. The Bulldogs just aren't offering that much at the moment. They're improving, but, they're not doing much for me at the moment, mate.
Yeah, mate, we're going to go all the same this week, all eight the same, so hopefully be an improvement for you on your 2 out of 8 last week, so...
I think there's a few of those Bulldogs playing for their back end of contracts too, mate.
Oh, who knows what's going on over there, mate. It's an absolute... It's an absolute debacle, as Jeff Toohey said. There's got to be an investigation.
He's done $850,000 a year playing park footy in New South Wales Cup.
Mate, I reckon he's spending all $850,000 on similar diet to Jack Bird, except he doesn't get the 20% off.
4 and 20.
Oh, mate. No coincidence Jack Bird's out this week either, as KFC announced their release of hot and spicy nuggets. So that's an interesting one, mate. He'd be feasting himself, so... Mate, plenty of good action there. Certainly plenty to see and start to get a bit more of a picture as we push towards the midpoint of the season. Only 2 more weeks and we'll be at round 12. Everyone will have played their first half of the year and it'll give us a real good picture and see where we're at, mate. Might jump into the Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League, or as it's colloquially known and as you keep calling it, the second division. As we said last week, we'll do sort of week about with B grade and C grade and then the North and South pools. And this week we're having a look at the C grade comp, mate. Similar to most of the other grades, 8-team comp. At the moment, we've got Awabakal, who base themselves out of Spears Point. So it's Awabakal Aboriginal Corporation. I've got the Awabakal United team. Them and Glendale are sitting undefeated. Cardiff and Swansea are yet to chalk a win. So that's Cardiff's second team. They've got 2 teams, 1 in A grade, 1 in C grade. And then you've got Aberglasson, Windale, Abermain, and Morisset all with 1 win. A little bit of controversy last round. We had the week off last week, but the round before, Morisset and Cardiff's match was called off with about 15 minutes to go due to some issues of crowd abuse and violence and things. So not what you want to hear about at local footy, unfortunately, mate.
No, it isn't. Obviously we had player, buddy, striking a ref in our code last year, mate, but you don't want to see it, especially with a lot of the stuff these days is, not just bar TV, but there are people out there filming and that sort of stuff, so quickly spreads, doesn't it?
I think it's just as bad when it's not filmed, though. At least when it's filming, you can sort of identify some of these perpetrators and things, and, it's a little bit disincentive if they know there's a chance they get caught on camera that, maybe think twice before they do something silly and, try and show off and, have a dick measuring contest with their mates about who's going to be the toughest because they didn't like the referee's decision. I'm all for a good bit of a laugh. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, Central bloke sort of, I don't know where he got it from, but he got one of the old referee's kits and he came out and just joined in the defensive line and pretended he was referee in the game. It's a bit of a chuckle. The security escorted him off while it was pretty harmless. But when it starts to get to the point where either players or match officials are, threatened, intimidated, or any other, form of, uncomfortable, or there's violence towards them or excessive abuse towards them, I mean, there's always a bit of banter. There's no need for that, mate, and it's not what any of our codes are about. So, if that was anyone that I know, I'd certainly be giving them a good wake-up call, and hopefully whoever it was sort of realised and moves on. And you don't want, there's been issues of clubs in the past, and I'm sure you can think of some of the rugby union, or I know some of the rugby league circles where they've been moved on from competitions because of culture issues in the crowd and, the playing ranks as well. So hopefully that's not the case, and hopefully these two clubs, I'm not sure, I'm sure people are pointing fingers at both clubs, and sometimes it's just people that aren't connected to either. But hopefully these two clubs just get on with footy and their crowds behave themselves for the remainder of 2018 and onwards.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Hit the nail on the head, I reckon.
So, mate, this week in the C-grade competition, Cardiff host Windell. It's a bit of a local derby, mate. That'll be an interesting one. That's at 1:30 at Cardiff Oval, and the part of a doubleheader with the A grade, which we'll touch on in a second. Morissette hosts Swansea. Swansea will be hunting that first win out there at Gibson Oval at 2 o'clock. Abermain hosts Aberglasson in the Hunter or the Coalfields Derby for this competition at 3 o'clock at Howe Park at Abermain. And top of the table, Battlemate Awabakal hosting Glendale, 3 p.m. at Bower Oval. Couple of quick shout-outs. Awabakal, mate, they've got a bloke called Shannon Maven, who you may know from, used to play at Hamilton in some of the lower grades and stuff.
Yeah,
so he's been around the traps a little bit. He's playing for Awabakal. And at Glendale, there's a bloke by the name of Troy Forbes. Forbesy's been at a few of the second division clubs over the years. I remember refereeing him when he was playing for Wanji about 8 or 9 years, and he was one of the, how do I nicely put this, one of the senior and more experienced players on the paddock then, so he has to be well into his 40s, Forbesy. He's playing in the halves for Glendale. He's played at Stockton, Wanji, a number of other clubs. And, mate, great to see blokes still running around in their 40s and having a crack and steering teams around the park.
That's right, mate. Reminds me of the old Marty Luisa from a few years ago.
Mate, I saw Marty down at Central the other week. He still looks fit enough to play. I wouldn't cross him.
Yeah, no, I definitely wouldn't cross him.
Nah, but a lovely guy off the field, mate. He plays hard on the field, lovely bloke off the field, Marty, so I think he's still in the rep team at about 46, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I think that was the year they finally found out his proper age.
Yeah, allegedly his proper age. I wouldn't be surprised if he's 60. And obviously, his son's pretty well known in the circles and playing really well for Central at the moment, Terence.
Yes.
On to the A-grade competition, mate. Top of the ladder, we've got Dora Creek and Belmont South. They're flying high. Dora Creek, a little bit of a surprise packet. Belmont South, we knew what was to be expected under the tutelage of former Australian Kangaroos prop Cade Snowden and his old man Chris Cowboy Snowden, who's been a fixture in second division circles for a long time and a very switched on operator cowboy. Cardiff, Shortland, Katara and Raymond Terrace all with one win. Certainly be looking at a couple of those sides. There's plenty of experience running around a couple of those sides, Newcastle first grade and the likes. And then Fingal and Dudley yet to have a win. I did have a chat with one of the boys from Dudley the other day. And they're really battling for depth and numbers. So I wouldn't be surprised if once they settle into the period of, they normally do a regrade either after this round or the fourth round, the second division competitions, I wouldn't be surprised to see them go down and maybe a Stockton or a Wallsend Maryland or someone, or, sorry, not a Wallsend Maryland, a West Wallsend come up. So just be interesting to see results this week as they start to trigger that. In the fixtures this week, as I touched on, Cardiff, they've got a double header at their ground. So they've got a men's game at 1:30 and the men's C grade at 1:30, men's A grade at 3 o'clock. So Cardiff host Shortland. Again, another little derby match there. So two derby games there. So there should be plenty of crowd out at Cardiff Oval on Saturday. Also there, Fingal Bay and Katara, both Head up to the Fingal Bay Oval. Qatar will be looking to continue their form from last round, and Fingal Bay will be looking to break their duck and get the first win. Belly South, mate, they host Raymond Terrace. You'd be a brave man to back against them, I would have thought, at 3 o'clock at Leningen Oval at Belmont North there. You'd be on the Belmont South bandwagon, wouldn't you, the Rabbitohs?
Yeah, mate, they're playing well at the moment. They're super coach, super captain, coach, whatever he is.
Mate, going well. And as we've touched on a couple of times, some well-known surnames in both Newcastle and National Rugby League circles in Muir and Mullins running around over there. And a few of the boys I had to run around with at Lakes, and also Jason McKenzie, who's been running around for a few years in Newcastle Central Coast first grade. Then Dora Creek, the surprise packet leaders, they host Dudley, who are struggling along at the bottom of the ladder out at Neville Thompson Oval out there at Dora Creek. Mate, you talk about good ovals. When it comes to local sport, there's not many better than Dora Creek Oval. It's a cracker if you ever get the chance to pop out there. Neville Thompson Oval, but very brave to think that Dudley had put up too much of a fight here. As I said, they're struggling for depth, and Dora Creek is sitting at the top of the ladder, so I'd expect a big win for Dora Creek, which might seal Dudley's fate going down to B grade, which, from what I'm hearing, they'd be pretty happy with, mate.
Yes, yeah, mate, I reckon that's right. I think Campbell's brother was out at Dudley, mate. I thought they were going to have a bumper season, but
mate, he's been out there for a number of years, and mate, he's battling away. But as I said, depth is the big issue out there. It's not about talent. They got a handful of really talented footballers, and I mean, it's only a couple of years ago that they were in the C grade competition. So to be all the way up in A grade, and they've probably lost a couple of their more experienced campaigners. They're still around the club, the likes of Nandor Smith, but yeah, they've certainly lost a few, and it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But never say never in the second division. Teams turn up one day, don't turn up another, or got a couple of key players out, anything can happen. Finally, mate, Bar TV will be covering, I've got confirmation just not long ago on Twitter, they will be covering the Dungog University, the only Friday night game from the B-grade competition. So they'll be making the trek up to fresh old Dungog on Friday night again to cover off that one. So if you got nothing on Friday night, make sure to tune in to Bar TV Sports. Again, we'll share the link for that one. Mate, now we might move on to Group 21, mate. Plenty of good footy there. You've had an absolute shocker, mate. So Group 21, with our mate Troy Lowry from Aerolax Australia up there, you've had a shocker. 1 out of 3 tips. I got the perfect round, mate. What was going on there?
Jeez, 1 out of 3 and the three bloody choices. It shouldn't be that hard, mate.
Mate, flip a coin, honestly. So the results last week, mate, have you got those there? Did you want to run through them, or you want me to go through them?
I got them there, mate. Yeah, Singleton got 8 points. Aberdeen got 28. In a bit of a shock. Tenman got 20. They just pipped Greeter, our boys, 16. And Scone, are they called the Thoroughbreds?
They are the Thoroughbreds, mate. Well done.
30 got done by Musselbrook, mate. 38.
Big win for the Rams there, as tipped by yours truly. I'm not sure why you thought Aberdeen versus Singleton was an upset, mate, but anyway, it was the only one you tipped right.
Only had a draw this year, Singo, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was at home.
Yeah, mate, the Tigers are flying high at the top of the ladder. Level with Scone now. Musselbrook there. Mate, essentially, they've got to play Denver in a catch-up game, so essentially we could have a three-way tie at the top of the ladder. They've all knocked each other off, Musselbrook, Scone and Aberdeen, so not much separating them there, mate. Our man Troy Lowry back on deck. Greta Brinkson probably surprised a few getting within four of Denman, so... they'll be looking to build on that this week. The fixtures this weekend, mate. Denman hosting Aberdeen. How do you see that one, mate?
Well, I don't think Denman will get it done this week, mate. I think they're doing all right. They've had the two wins. But, yeah, I think Aberdeen, they're showing a bit of class and they'll get the chocolates here, mate.
Yeah, mate. That Aberdeen side certainly are. I think they've got... might have Liam Foran, Kieran's brother, running around for him at the moment. So... Yeah. Looking very strong. So that's 2 o'clock at Denman Oval on Saturday. 4:40 on Saturday up at Olympic Park in Musselbrook. Musselbrook, much improved from their early loss. Host Greta Brankson. I think poor old Troy's boys are going to have a tough road trip up there, mate.
Yeah, it's a little trek up the road, mate. It's not too far, but yeah, I don't think they'll get their first win this week, mate. Musselbrook are starting to hit their form a bit. They'll have their tails up after beating Scone last week, mate.
Yeah, they certainly will, mate. Final match of the round, that team you just touched on, Sunday, 2 o'clock at Scone Park. The Scone Thoroughbreds host the Singleton Greyhounds. Mate, it's pretty straightforward, this one. We all know that a horse beats a greyhound in a race, so I'm going to go with the Thoroughbreds, mate.
Yeah, mate, I think think, yeah, the home team will get the job here. And I think by Sunday night, they'll be equal on 10 points with Aberdeen at the top of the table, mate.
Yeah, Musselbrook will be one win behind with a game in hand. I think it's going to be a red-hot battle for the minor premiership as that season goes on, mate, and we'll keep everyone up to date with all of it. I'm going to try and catch up with our great mate Troy and hopefully super coach Mick Deacon, formerly of West Rosellas and Cessnock Cutters fame, mate. So try and catch up with them soon and get a bit of an interview and a bit of an update on the Group 21 from the men on the ground.
Might give you a few things for your legs, mate.
Yeah, mate. We'll see what we can get. See if he wants to start sponsoring our Man of the Week or something. Get involved. So
might have mysteriously fallen out of the back of his iLoad truck, mate.
Yeah, who knows, mate? Who knows? I guess we'll wait and see. We'll move on to the real NRL, mate, brought to us by our friends at the Rugby League Academy, old Matty Lantry. At least business is going well because his footy season hasn't been so far this year, poor fella. Plenty of time, though, to come back. It's an open competition this year, the way it sits. Cessnock, mate, 18, lost at home to Lakes, 28. Macquarie suffered their first loss of the season, 34-20 at home to the Maitland Pickers. South Chalk, their first win of the season, 26-16 over West. And Central, by the same scoreline, over Curry, 26-16. Means no one is any longer undefeated and no one is winless. So we've got three teams, Maitland, Curry and Macquarie, all on 6 points. Central and Lakes on 4. South, West and Cessnock on 2. So at the end of the day, only 2 wins separate first and last. As we get deep into the season, mate.
Yeah, it's sailing along nicely, mate. We just need that extra team. So we've got 3-on-6, 3-on-4, and 3-on-2, but isn't to be.
Nah, mate, no one wants buys, so we'll leave it as it is. But closest comp in years.
Lake beat Cessnock, mate. That was probably a bit of an upset there, but...
Some of us might have tipped that, you know. I'm not sure.
You did
tip South, though, which even you were surprised by when I told you that.
Well, that was you, mate. That was you. As you said all the other weeks, and you know, I've listened astutely to all the interviews you've done with the coaches and the players from the real NRL. You just got to turn up with the right attitude, mate. And you know, as I said, anyone can beat anyone.
Mate, it is the closest competition. It's the closest competition in many years, I think, and. Yeah, where a lot of the other competitions we're looking at already and you're starting to see, you know, finals pictures starting to shape up. Yeah, I don't think that's the case in this one. You'd be a brave man to certainly write off, you know, any of those teams. You know, so certainly, like, you know, the likes of West, only 2 wins off the pace. It'd be a pretty brave man to write off that squad. And at the end of the day, they can still sign more players before June 30 as Matt Lantry refused to rule out in your favourite source of the truth of the world, the Newcastle Herald, mate. Plenty to yet to see. There'll be plenty of twists and turns in the tail of this season, I do not doubt.
Yes, that's right, man. Is that, we just spoke off air before we come on, there's no footy this weekend?
Well, there's 2 games, mate, but they're just catch-up games from the other week when Townsend got a bit wet and they took the precaution of canning the reserves and open grade matches. So they'll be played on Friday night at Townsend, so... hopefully it's nice and dry because I think the rugby's on there this weekend as well. South and Maitland will play in reserves and open. So Friday night, if you're not tuning into Bar TV Sports, feel free to head on down to Townsend Oval. They'll have all the facilities cracking there and some good lower grade footy to check out, mate. So bounce on from the oval ball to the round ball and have a look at the FFA Cup action, mate. Recording this late on Wednesday night, the matches have just all wrapped up. We've been waiting for them so that we could record. I'll fire through the results, mate. No real upsets. Adamstown 3 beat Raymond Terrace 0. Lambton 4. Cessnock City Hornets 1. Broadmeadow 2. Thornton Redbacks 0. Hamilton Olympic 2. Western 0. Edgeworth 1. Valentine 0. And Charlestown City Blues 3. Lake Macquarie City 1. So what that means, mate, the winners too from the Northern Conference were Port United and the Boambi Bombers from just out of Coffs Harbour. So I think you said the dates for the 6th round are the long weekend, is that right?
Yeah, the 9th and 11th out at Spears Point, or 9th to the 11th, sorry, yep. Out at Spears Point, the round, the 2 teams will represent.
Yep. So it'll be a knockout, round. So there'll be 4 games on the, you know, essentially the quarterfinals will be on the Saturday. The semis must be on the... they must, yeah, be on a Sunday. But then I'm not sure, mate, because I think everyone will only have to play two games to get down to two teams. So
I'd say they'll probably be
two games Saturday, two games Sunday, and two games on Monday, maybe. But yeah, certainly worth getting out to on the long weekend, and we'll touch on it as it gets a little bit closer. But just a quick run through, just to reaffirm that the teams that have gone through: Port United, Boambi Bombers, Adamstown Rosebuds, Lambton Jaffers, Broadmeadow Magic, Hamilton Olympic, Edgeworth Eagles, and the Charlestown City Blues. Mate, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and it, you know, may come down to the luck of the draw, but who are you earmarking as your two teams to go through?
Probably the two teams that have been, well, most impressive early on, mate. I know they're not first and second on the ladder, but, yeah, Charlestown for me and Edgeworth, who have put all their eggs into the basket again this year. I think they're the two teams that...
The Eagles love the Cup, and they're the only team from Northern New South Wales who have progressed to the round of 16 where they were defeated by the Wanderers a year or two ago. I'm going to go with you, mate, with them, with the Eagles, but I'm going to go for a little bit, you know, of a darker horse. They're, you know, not travelling quite as well in the regular season, but with their experience, I think Cup football's the perfect outlet for them in the Jaffers, mate. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them go there. My biggest surprise would be if we saw either Boambi Bombers or Port United make it through. Probably don't have the resources and the player depth that some of these clubs do. So be interesting to see, though, with it being a weekend format as opposed to midweek, it allows for a bit more flexibility. And I know Edgeworth, for example, rested some of their big names last week in their loss to Adamstown and sacrificed that result in the NPL in order to focus on the Cup. I think they were a bit surprised by the fight put up by Adamstown, but yeah, they've made no secrets about their Cup ambitions.
Yeah, what did you say the Jaffa score was again, mate?
The Jaffa score, plenty to not much. 4-1, I think.
Yeah, well, it's quite impressive, mate. They had six or seven blokes out for this game.
Yeah, mate, they were playing Cessnock City, so they were playing against a second division team, but a big shout out actually just out of all those, mate, to Raymond Terrace. I think they've come from about the fourth division of Newcastle Soccer to get to where they are, and then to only go down 3-0 to a team that's knocked off the top two, you know, probably the form two teams in the last 2 weeks is a really solid effort. I know that Adamstown did rest their superstar goalkeeper, Mr. Media Ben Kelly, this week, so for that game, but still had plenty of names there. So good effort there by Raymond Terrace. Great to see some of the underdogs striving high.
Yeah, that's right, mate.
Might jump across to the regular season NPL Northern New South Wales action, mate, and we'll run through the results from last weekend. We might jump back to last week. As we touched on last week's show, the Jets Youth hosted Western last Wednesday night. The scoring was opened by Cooper Buswell for the Bears in the 9th minute. Kent Harrison with a reply in the 38th. And Tiga Ajayi scoring the winner in the 57th, mate. I did a little bit of research on this bloke. He's come up. He played for Bell Swans and Walls End in the new FM, the second division, if you will, over the last couple of years. He's got some goal scoring form. 20 goals in 23 games last year for Bell Swans. So keep an eye on him for Western this year, mate.
Yeah, mate, that's pretty impressive. Friend of the show, Aniko, partner Nick. He plays in that new FM league.
Who's he playing for, mate? Yeah.
He plays for Cooks Hill, mate.
Cooks Hill, all right, yep. Cooks Hill, lovely.
They won it last year, so yeah, I know that's a pretty strong competition. So,
yeah, mate, we'll have a review of that in the next week or two. I've just got to get a bit more info on it, having a chat with a couple of people, so have a bit of a review on where that's at, mate. We might have to get Nick on the show if he's available.
Yeah, and we love interviewing superstar strikers, mate, so he'll be happy to come down. He won't say much.
But I was going
to
say, he doesn't talk much, mate, based on his appearances in the Hof squad, but that's all right. We'll see what we can do. We'll jump back to the weekend's action, mate. Lambton, they went down 2-1 to Hamilton. A couple of early goals. Ryan Griffiths got one in the 9th minute. Our man of the week from last week, Simon Mooney, got a goal in the 13th, and then Scott Pettit continued his goal-scoring form with one in the 43rd. So all the goals in the first half, they made a good win for Olympic. Maitland, they got two late goals to Josh Dutton-Black in the 61st and Liam Thornton in the 86th to get up against the Roosters, Lake Macquarie 2-0. Adamstown, as we touched on, a Luke Valone goal in the 63rd minute was enough for them to pit the, at the time, ladder leaders Edgeworth 1-0. Charlestown City with a double to Scott Smith. In the 57th and 65th, got home against Valentine. Made a big shout out to Scott Smith. He got a double in the FFA Cup tonight too. He's on fire. Four goals in 4 days. Flying. Broadmeadow and the Jets played out a high-scoring affair. The opening goal was Joseph O'Connor from the Jets with an own goal for Broadmeadow to take the lead. Kent Harrison, who scored on Wednesday night, also bagged one in the 33rd. Mitch Oxborough got one in the 19th and the 59th. Nice double there from the former A-League player. He went away. He played with Broadmeadow a couple of games last year, but good to see him starring. Justin Broadley got one in the 42nd, and then the Jets with a consolation goal to Kai Tapaldo in the 88th. So, mate, the top little bracket there, if you look at the ladder, it's certainly starting to break into probably three little tiers, I think we're talking about before. So you've got in the bottom little bracket there, who you got? Western, Valentine, and Lake Macquarie. And then we move up, you've got, sorry, mate, I've just closed my ladder off. Have you got yours in front of you?
Yeah, Jets, Youth, Hamilton, Adamstown, and Lambton, they're all within 2 points. And at the top tier, mate.
Yeah, there we go. I've got it back now.
Edgeworth in fourth, Maitland in third, Broadmeadow in second, but they're all on 16. And
yep.
Charlestown with the bye this week are on 19.
So, mate, certainly some interesting ones there. So who'd you say is up there? Broadmeadow, Edgeworth, and Maitland. If they were all to win this week, we could have a four-way tie at the top of the ladder. None of them play each other, so certainly some cracking games this week, and we'll roll in them. Only the four matches, because the Jets, obviously, their youth team played that game early so that they could get over to the seven-a-side tournament they've gone over to in Hong Kong. Mate, first up, Lake Macquarie host Edgeworth, Saturday afternoon, 2:30 at Macquarie Field. Mate, Lake Macquarie have really dropped off the boil, and I can't see anything but an Edgeworth win here, mate.
Yeah, Edgeworth rested a few last week to get on that FFA Cup, but they got the win in that, mate. The confidence will be high, and I think they'll join Charlestown at the top, although the Walker brothers return from a wedding from last weekend, mate.
Yeah, mate, certainly some big ins there, two leaders there. But, yeah, I still don't think it'll be quite enough. And I expect the Eagles to bounce back from that loss to Adamstown and take the momentum from the Cup win. Next up, mate, Valentine host Adamstown at the old CB complex over there at Crowdus Bay, Sunday 2:30. Mate, this is starting to get to the point. It sounds pretty crazy at this point of the year. We're only up to round 10, but it's almost must win for the Phoenix.
Yeah, mate, it is. Adamstown have really come back from that drubbing at the hands of Maitland about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and they're really starting to hit their form. Your mate, the keeper, Kelly, said they're really enjoying
their form. Big bad BK.
And, yeah, I think Adamstown will get the win, mate, but it won't be by much, I don't think.
Mate, I'm going to go for them to come down a little bit. I'm going to go for the draw. Valentine are the kings of the draw, so, mate, I think it might finish up 1-1. I think they'll be looking to bounce back from some recent results. Couple of really interesting games to finish up with, mate. Maitland host the Jaffers Lambton at Cook Square Park on Sunday at 2:30. Mate, these sides both starting to turn their form around, and Lambton will be wanting to get themselves in on that conversation. A loss here would see that gap potentially open up, especially if Edgeworth and Broadmeadow get wins. So Lambton will be very, very astutely aware of that.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Maitland are very hot and cold from the results this year, but obviously Lambton have got a lot of big game players, mate. That's with that, it'll be a good, entertaining game, but I'm going to go the draw.
Yeah, the draw, mate. I'm going to go with the Jaffers. I think they'll be looking to bounce back from what might have been considered a surprise loss to Hamilton, and certainly, try and put some pace between themselves and some of those sides just behind them in the Jets youth and the like of that. The concerning thing for a couple of those sides in the Jets youth and Western is they've played that extra game, so, and they still find themselves sort of trailing, so plenty of pressure on them. But, mate, my match of the round is the old rivalry, Hamilton Olympic. They bounced back last week with a win and started to push themselves up in the conversation. They host the Magic at Darling Street on Sunday, again at 2:30. Mate, there's never any love lost in this, and these two teams step up for it. I reckon this one might be a little bit fiery, similar to the Magic Blues game earlier in the year. And Olympic will be buoyed after a win last week against the Jaffers. And then also, obviously, tonight's result where they got it done 2-0 against Western. Mate, you're looking for plenty from your man, Reece Cooper.
I would be looking for plenty from Reece Cooper, mate, but he's actually overseas at the moment representing...
Oh, that's right. He's away for the futsal, isn't he? I did note that, sorry.
Maybe that's why they're cracking on and playing well, mate.
They might find himself in reserve grade when he comes back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they had a 8-1 win versus versus India, mate. They got Brazil in their next game, I believe, over there, so they're cracking along well. Mate, I think Broadmeadow for me, mate. I think we'll get the job done here. Mitch Oxborough, I think, is a big in. He scored two last week, and I think he'll carry on. And yeah, Broadmeadow will be up there with Charlestown by the end on Sunday night, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Magic as well, mate. But I wasn't far away from, you know, tossing that up, and I wouldn't be surprised if Olympic won, or if we had a... I'd be pretty surprised if it was a nil-all or a one-all. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a two-all or maybe even a three-all. I think there'd be plenty of goals in it. Olympic, not the most defensive of teams. I think just the you know, pure scoring ability of the Magic. They got strike power across the paddock. We'll see them home. And that's the NPL action, mate. Might move on and... jump into your corner of the world, the Newcastle and Hunter Rugby Union. And, mate, there's some interesting results on the weekend. Might start with the game that you had, mate. Southern Beaches 47, defeated Lake Macquarie 33. 11 tries in total, mate. 7 for the Beaches, 4 for Lake Macquarie. Probably raises a few questions. Lake Macquarie, you know, it's a good sign for them that they were a little bit competitive. Some concerns, though, for Beaches over their defence. And another interesting one, again, Beaches this week using multiple goal kickers, 3 different goal kickers for 7 shots at goal.
Yeah, they did, mate. Delore limped off late in the second half with a calf injury, and, yeah, regular goal kicker Michael Delore didn't play, but, yeah.
So I think they used, who was it, Robert Richardson and maybe the 10 as well had a kick at goal.
The 12.
Sione Olive, that's him, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it was fairly entertaining. As you can imagine, it was very physical at times, mate. Local derby, but it's good to see Lake Macquarie. They actually, they probably don't have the cattle they've had in previous years, but they played the full 80 minutes and they actually scored the last try of the game, mate. So they had a go.
Mate, they cracked on, which is a bit more than they did against Uni. They really went to sleep in the second half in their last matchup. So it's been a few weeks since they've played. So hopefully they can build onto that, and I'll have their work cut out this week. Bit of extra spice in that one, mate, with Caleb Gerrard crossing the lake, so to speak, in that little bit of a break that we've had, and pulling on the boots for Beaches after leaving Lake Macquarie, and you know, a little bit of niggle it looked like, and I know you can't comment too much. He was yellow carded for a bit of a lifting clean out. It wasn't actually a tackle. But now looks like the judiciary's offered him a 3-week suspension after that. So waiting to hear whether or not he takes the early guilty plea or whether he contests that one. I think it's pretty clear cut once they're charging with him. He's obviously done what he's done from the video, but whether or not he wants to contest the severity, maybe it'll be interesting to see. Other games, mate. Merriweather Carlton continue to stamp their authority on the competition. They still sit second because of that early season bye, but they had a 71-5 win over Singleton at Singleton, mate. Clinical, 10 different try scorers and only one missed kick from the magic boot of Sam Bright.
Yeah, I think Singleton will be back to the drawing board after this, mate, because they've shown a lot of promise early on. But, yeah, Carlton are really, stamping their authority at the top there with Nelson Bay.
I'd have to say, if you were pricing a betting market on the competition, that'd be the... they'd be pretty short favourites, I think, at the moment. Even Nelson Bay, they'd be in the mix, and the usual suspects are Hamilton and Wanderers, but I think Merriweather have a bit of gap on the field at the moment, the way they've been playing, and they haven't had an easy run. They've knocked off, you know, most of the good sides already, you know, the other sides in that conversation already, and come up against the final one this week in Nelson Bay. So be interesting to see, mate. Plenty on show there. Speaking of Nelson Bay, mate, they had probably a pretty big upset win in most people's eyes over Hamilton, 24-22 at Passmore as well. It wasn't up at the Groper Dome. So, mate, starting to really, plant their credentials out there for everyone to see and show that they are a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, mate. I think no one will be taking them lightly after this now, mate, but it was their first win over Hamilton at either ground since 2009. So, yeah, they were pretty happy. They got the Hawthorn Cup. They're back on top of the table, mate, and people are talking about them. So,
yeah, mate, bumper clash this week. The final game of the round, mate, Wanderers comprehensive winners 42-7 over Uni. Former Samoan 7-star Francis Oyeriema with his second hat trick for the season, mate. He doesn't mind a meat pie, the big boy.
He doesn't, mate. He's in very impressive form. He had a good seventh season earlier in the year with the teams he played for, and it's a shame. This was a pretty good game, like for Wanderers, and they got the Brad Nichols Cup, which they've held on to for quite a few years now. But yeah, it was a bit of a bad ending to the match.
Yeah, mate. I was about to delve into that again, as usual. You know, you've got to be a little bit careful. I can speak a bit more freely. A bit of a brouhaha or a melee erupted, mate. Our man Dane LaRougeTel was at the bottom of it all. And then he just sort of very well behaved, Dane, and didn't see him throwing any punches. That was good. And our other young mate, Hone Edwards, he was also on his best behaviour. But plenty of others didn't like it. The centre from uni, whose name escapes me, he was the first one to really take offence and ran in and probably escalated it and found himself with a yellow card.
Charlie Mortimer, mate.
That's him. That's the man, Charlie Mortimer. At which point, every second man and his dog, barring a few, decided that they'd come in and hug and kiss and whatnot. And then I think it was Marcus Christensen decided that, well, I might use someone's head as a punching bag. And he got a bit fired up about something. I think someone must have said something because it looked like it was starting to die down. Anyone that wants to watch the footage, you can go and watch it on Bar TV Sports. He had a crack at a couple of blokes. But the one that got me was Stephen Nelly, the reserve prop mate. And he came in and he decked one bloke, decked another bloke, and then wanted to carry on with it with some more blokes. So Mr. Christensen's found himself with a one-week ban, which I think is probably sufficient. And Stephen Nelly's been whacked with a four-week ban. So NHRU sending a very clear message that striking won't be tolerated in the competition. Certainly taking a good stance with it, which I think is a great thing, and I'm sure you'll support as a referee, mate. It's good to see them taking action. I mean, I'm all for the game being as physical as it can be within the bounds of the laws, but, you know, we don't take this action into it and we don't need to carry on like that. We're there to watch rugby. If you want to be a boxer, go and hang out with Les Mason and Barry Hall and all those other, you know, crew. You know, there's plenty of blokes that have gone from the footy realm into boxing and back and forth, and it doesn't belong in the white lines, it belongs in the ring, mate.
Yeah, that's right, mate. I just obviously can't comment too much, but as long as, as I said earlier in the year when we touched on Super Rugby, as long as they're consistent like the referees try to be, mate, that's all we ask for.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. And on that note, we might move on to some round six action. A couple of big games. Might start off, mate. Lake Macquarie, they're going to have their work cut out for them against a Wanderers side that are closing in on the competition leaders, mate. I think they sit, from memory, just 1 point behind Nelson Bay and Merriweather.
They are, mate. Nelson Bay, Merriweather, 18. Wanderers, 17. Beaches, 14.
So,
Lake Macquarie are going to have a tough day, I reckon. But if they show the fight they did last week, mate, I reckon, anything could happen. But the old Fox, youngie, mate, he's cruising along nicely.
Mate, I wouldn't mind seeing what odds Sportsbet had for Big Francis to score at least a double. Although he only seems to score them in threes or nothing. He's played pretty much every game and just got six tries from two hat-tricks. So, it'd be interesting to see. The big fella would be a short price, I would have thought, to get across the stripe this week. He'd be nearly impossible to stop from a five-metre scrum, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's a big boy, mate. I don't like running at anyone, but I wouldn't like him running at me.
Yeah, mate, you wouldn't like him popping out the back of the line out at your knee.
No, definitely not, mate. See what happens there.
I was going to say, your knee would probably be safe. His hip would probably hit you in the head.
Yeah, probably all go over the top.
Mate, I'll tell you what we need to get, just as a bit of entertainment, just get him and Jerome Wilson about 20 metres apart and just get in a run full tilt at each other. Mate, the result and impact may level all of Newcastle and Central Coast.
Yeah, probably, mate. Yeah, another earthquake.
Two big boppers there, mate. Ground another Pasha Bulka. Next up, mate, the Bar TV game is Maitland versus Singleton. I'm not sure what's going on over there at Bar TV. Maybe Gareth can shed some light. They've got some Channel 9 style scheduling where they must schedule at the start of the season. Because there's obviously a clear bumper clash this weekend that I thought they would have covered. But anyway, I don't know, maybe Gareth's got a hot date in the afternoon up at Downtown Lawn or something.
What, Lovedale Long Lunch is on this weekend, mate.
That's why. Gareth's motives are very apparent and clear now. That's clarified it. Lovely.
He's calling it from the gardens or the vineyards.
Yeah, he'd be calling from the back of the bus on the way from vineyard to vineyard. It'd be some slurred commentary at the end there. Maitland and Singo, mate. As you said, Singo will be back at the drawing board. The great man, former Wallaby Steve Merrickle, certainly has his work cut out for him. But Maitland probably a little bit off the boil as well. Be interesting to see how they put the buy to use. But, mate, I don't think this one will be a very interesting game. I'm going to go with... So, obviously, I tipped Wanderers in that last one. I'm going to tip Maitland to get this one done. Just due to the home ground advantage there at Marcellin on Saturday, Arvo.
Yeah, there's not much love lost between these, mate. I think this... I think the derby with, obviously, Singleton showing a bit more fight this year, mate, I think it'll have a bit more...
Should be spicy.
Spicy, a bit more meaning. I don't know. Should be a good contest, mate. And I think the bye will come at a good time for Maitland. So I believe Jimmy Johnson and Travis Brook will more than likely return to the starting lineup, mate, after their 20-minute cameos.
They've got a fair riches as they have for a few years in sort of the back row and lock stakes. So they'll be pretty strong there, I would have thought. I wouldn't expect Carl Marnu to have too many off games. He's hasn't had his best the last couple of games, so look for him to step back to that form he's at for the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, mate, I agree.
All right, mate. Next up, mate, the game controlled by yourself, young Jared Logan, University and Hamilton, mate. University will be a bit disappointed, I know, from that interview with Dane LaRugitel. They were certainly aiming a little bit higher than a... I mean, everyone's always aiming higher than a 5-try loss, but they had some expectations of really getting that arm wrestle with Wanderers, which it just didn't seem like they were able to. And, mate, they'll have the same aim here against Hamilton at home. They're really, really trying to stamp some pride in their home ground out there at Bernie Curran Oval. And Hamilton, meanwhile, they'll be smarting, mate, after that loss to Nelson Bay. It only came down to a goal kick, but at the end of the day, that's all it takes.
That's right, mate. That was right. There was no hawkies drinking from the bird bath last Saturday night, as Gareth likes to say. And
I don't think I want to know.
As we said 2 weeks ago when Uni played Beaches, mate, when the Uni boys get back on campus, they grow another leg. And, yeah, they got touched up a bit last week, mate, but, yeah, they might be quietly confident here, mate.
Yeah, mate, they've certainly got some ability about them. It'll just come down to how Hamilton play, but I did see some mentions of a couple of names for Hamilton that might be back in action this week, mate. So I don't know if you caught that in the Herald.
No, I haven't as yet, mate. Not my copy yet.
The young gentleman, what's his name? The Fijian that they had, I think, last year. He came back and had a run in second grade on the weekend. Seva Rocabaro. Looks like he may be coming back to first grade this week, which is no small inclusion, mate.
No, he's 6'10" and about 110 kilos, mate. And he plays rugby like the Fijians by sevens, mate. Very hard to bring down, and he's always got an offload in him.
Yeah, so that he'll the young Uni boys will have their work cut out for him there. Where would you expect that the Hawks will deploy Sever if he's back on deck, mate?
He'll play. They want, mate,
but
either be 8 or 5, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But he's pretty handy anywhere, mate.
He'll add some punch to their set piece against the Uni side. That's probably where their platform is. So certainly add some interest to there, mate. The scrums and lineouts will be a good battle. I'm going to go the Hawks to bounce back, mate. They're renowned for being one of the powerhouse clubs over the last few years, so they won't like sitting down in what they'd class as a lowly position of fifth at the moment, and they'll be looking to get themselves back in that mix very rapidly, I would have thought. And the final game of the round, mate, the top of the table clash, Downtown Towns and Oval on Saturday afternoon. Hopefully the league boys don't chop it up too much Friday night. Merriweather Carlton hosts Nelson Bay. Mate, I thought Nelson Bay had a bit of a false storm with an easy run, and their run's getting tougher, but they had the win last week, and, mate, if they can do it 2 in a row here, they'd have a lot of people sitting up and taking notice, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I know a few people took notice, actually, last year in the first half of the competition. I know it was a different season, but they did actually beat Merriweather Carlton at home last year, so... Yep. Yeah, they'll be looking to get the job done away from home, obviously, this year and continuing on there.
I think Carlton made a much improved side on what they were last year.
They are, definitely, yes.
So that one, mate, I think Carlton, but that'll be a cracker. Again, if you can get down to Townsend on Saturday, if you haven't got anything else on, you'll be treated to some quality rugby. Do we know who the man in control of that one is, mate?
Our man is Grinder's favourite, the man from Elmore Vale, Mr. Xavier Edwards, mate.
Does he have his expert consult Declan on the sideline with him this week, or no good?
I'm not sure who the ARs are for him, mate.
No, that's all right, mate.
He'll be using them, I'm sure, or going to Specsavers.
The boys did a very good job, the young fellas last week, controlling that Wanderers uni, melee, brouhaha, etc. So, mate, really good to see there. So it's good to see some young guys coming through, and, you know, we know we're getting to a tough place when you're one of the old blokes of rugby at 31, mate.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Over the hill, they say, but,
When, speaking of old men of Newcastle refereeing ranks, when does young Rob Del Bay make his return?
Rob? He was actually back last week, mate.
Was he?
We unfortunately missed last week's games, but yeah, he was back last week. He did second grade somewhere, but yeah, he was here. He's back for second game this week, and from all reports, mate, he will be better for the run.
All right, mate. I can't wait to see his luscious locks flowing around the first grade paddock soon. If he's not, I don't know, is he cameoing in the other code still? What's going on there?
He was putting his refereeing league on hold because he didn't want to pay the registration fee, but he said once he got back from Europe, he would go to the stripy shirt of the real NRL, mate.
I don't wear stripy shirts anymore, but anyway, they wear pink shirts, mate.
Oh, well, he'll look good in anything in Hollywood. At least that's what he'll tell you.
Mate, he looks great out there. I think last year he might have done under 12s grand final or something exciting like that. So, mate, in no time he'll be in first grade as a pocket referee, undoubtedly. And we wish him all the best, mate. But in all seriousness, it'll be great to have his experience back in the first grade ranks if he makes it back for Union. So good to see him back on deck, mate, keeping you on your toes.
I think the next segment's probably your man of the week, but just before we get there, mate, we'll just do a little shout out to Mark Littlewood, who announced his retirement from the Newcastle representative team, and I believe Belmont as well.
Yeah, potential temporary retirement, I think, from Belmont. He did say he may come back at the back end of the season. Does that mean, mate, I just want to ask the question, does that mean Scott Logan on return from his world tour might be elevated to open the batting in second grade?
Yeah, well, one out of first, so yeah, he should move up. So yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, well, that's if he's not playing for the English Test side or something, thanks to marriage and 5 years of residency. But that's a whole other story. Right. Mate, on that, while we're on signing and retirement news, obviously the Jets have made a few signings during the week. The young bloke from Wellington, also the great man Ronnie Vargas has re-signed. Spotted celebrating his retirement. He's re-signing, not retirement. Waratah Kmart, buying up big with the Hoff, mate.
Him and the Hoff, doing a little one-on-one signing session for no one, but they were out on Mother's Day, mate.
Just buying some presents for their mums. We'll leave it at that. Maybe Ronnie was buying something for Hoff's mum. I don't know.
Maybe he's buying Paddo some flowers, mate.
Yeah, goodbye present. Yeah, who knows? We will see the back of Paddo. We did see some brilliance once from him. look, he looked the real deal, but just didn't continue to shine. And I think he just struggled with the physicality a little bit. But it was great to have him on board, mate. He certainly go down in folklore better than the likes of Mario Jardel, that's for sure.
Certainly, mate.
It's not even as big as Mario Jardel's leg. Anyway, mate, as you said, we'll wrap it up now. Last segment, our man of the week. Had three nominations this week, mate. It was a bumper crop. From the world of the round ball, we had Mitch Oxborough, the former A-League star, returning for Broadmeadow Magic with 2 goals. The AFL world, we had young Jack Hardman of the Warners Bay Bulldogs for his selection in the Black Diamond AFL team and his absolute screamer of a marker and blinder of a game in helping Warners Bay defeat Nelson Bay in the Battle of the Bays. And the final one, mate, our man Francis from Wanderers with another hat-trick. After much deliberation, mate, the winner is the young rising star, Jack Hardman. You couldn't go past that screamer, mate. It was an absolute belter.
It was, mate. And,
I don't know, mate. But you'll spit it out soon because we're going to have to wrap up.
The Newcastle Air Traffic Control, I believe, mate.
Oh, yeah, mate. He got plenty of flight there. So wasn't that far from Williamtown either, up there at Tomaree. So surprised he didn't clash with one of the fighter jets. But, mate, thank you again to you. As per usual, guys, make sure you subscribe on either iTunes, Podomatic, or make sure you follow us on Spotify. Follow us on social media as well, SportscastLAU on Instagram and Twitter. Always plenty on there, and we love a bit of banter on Twitter, especially if it's directed at Gareth at Bar TV Sports. And obviously Facebook as well, SportsCastle. Thanks again for tuning in. We appreciate all your time and effort. If you've got any thoughts or anything you want to be included in the show, or you know any of the guys that are running around in the local footy and they want to be interviewed or featured on the show, we're more than happy to have a chat to pretty much anyone. As I said, we'll work to do some stuff on some of the other lower division sports in the coming weeks. Thanks for your time, mate. I understand it's a late night. It's past your bedtime. You're probably going to turn into a gremlin any moment.
Yeah, mate.
I
certainly will.
Mate, enjoying a kid-free night by the sound of it. It's pretty quiet over there at the Jared Mullen Studios.
It is, mate. They're sleeping at the grandparents. So
Big Al, the women's sport correspondent. No wonder we didn't have any women's sport this week. all right, mate. Well, thanks again. Thanks, everyone, again, for tuning in. Make sure to give us a share and share the show around. And I guess we'll catch you all next week. Enjoy your local sport and good luck to your side. Thanks, mate.
See you, mate.